In 2004, I moved to New Zealand, and my stepdaughters, who were 17 and 20 at the time, stayed in Canada. And when I got to New Zealand, I discovered that there was something that I had no idea about, and that was texting. Flip phones, you had to use every letter. You'll remember, some of you, how this went. But it hadn't happened yet in Canada. New Zealand is a small population, and they test things. So they were the first people to ever have automatic tellers. They were the first people to have texting. And so when I arrived, there was a whole new language to learn because they used short form texting. Not like most of us do, we write whole paragraphs in text messages, but see you later was see you, L-8-R. That was it. And so you had to learn a whole new thing. And my stepdaughters were in Canada, and if we hadn't had a relationship before I went, it would have probably ended with texting. Because I would text them, and they would get very frustrated. They had no idea what I was saying. And they would actually write me back, or send me an email, or call me and say, "For heaven's sakes, Beth, just pick up the phone and call us." My, how things have changed. You see, the thing was that we had a relationship, and the language that I was learning was one they didn't understand. And so we had to negotiate that. We had to learn how to communicate based on something new. These days, of course, I text all the time. I speak to my friends regularly, I see them in person, but when you want to quickly send a message, it's the easiest way. Because I already have a relationship with all of the folks that I'm texting, I know who's writing me without seeing their name now. Because we all have our own language, don't we? We all communicate in different ways. One of my friends sends an endless number of short sentences, so my phone is going bing, 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 bing. I have told her it's very irritating, and she's trying to restrain herself. I have another friend who, she's a brilliant person, and yet I know when she's tired, because her text messages are full of spelling mistakes. One of my other friends, her text messages are always perfect in grammar, in composition, with the emojis in just the right place, because she takes her time when she texts. And one of my friends is always encouraging. This is my friend who sends the kick in the butt texts. Get off the couch and go hiking texts. And this individual always says, "I'm on the move." That is their way of saying, "It's been nice chatting. Talk to you later. Gotta go." On the move. The thing about that is each one of these people I already have a relationship with. And now I understand the language that they use when they communicate in that way. Well, the on the move indicates what we're doing during Lent. Lent is a time when we're supposed to be on the move in our faith. We are supposed to be changing and challenging ourselves and reconciling and repenting and just having that time in our lives to actually build our relationship with God. And we know that we're on the move. Lent is always the time of year when, as a parish, we have our annual vestry, and we're always moving somewhere after that. This year, we're having an Episcopal election in the diocese, so we're also on the move in a different way. And the scripture readings are always calling us to move deeper into relationship with God, deeper into God's call for us, which is universal to every one of us, no matter what our language, invites us to be on the move. The story of Abraham today, or Abram, celebrates forward movement. God talks to Abram in a language he understands. It's about gathering his people and going to a new land. That is the language of the day. There will be many ancestors, many descendants, because that's what's important in Abraham's day. And we can almost feel Abraham's and our legs kind of on the move as we hear the passage. It's brief, but it invites us to ask some questions. Where do we need to move forward beyond our current, even if positive, present? What adventures await us if we explore new ways of mission and ministry? Where will our spiritual walk take us? Abram is moving physically, but those are all the questions that are being asked. Movements of the spirit, though, can be just as challenging as geographical journeys. In both cases, we have to leave the familiar and adapt to a new landscape, or a seascape of possibilities. Divine movement builds on the past, but lures us towards untraveled futures, both personally and, as I've already mentioned, institutionally. And in today's song, we are given a word of assurance. All pilgrims are given a word of assurance. God is with us and God will protect us. We all are not naive. We know there's no guarantee that our journeys will succeed or will even arrive at their appointed destination, because who knows what will happen along the way. But the psalmist assures us that we can move forward with trust that God will guide us on the way. And then in Romans, God is also speaking in the language of the time, talking in much more sort of ethereal concepts and arguments, but saying that God takes the initiative on our adventures. We travel forward not to earn God's love, but to respond faithfully to the love we've already received. That's the language that God is calling out and speaking to us, no matter whether we're in Abram's day, the psalmist's time, or in Romans. God actually approaches each one of us in whatever texting form works for us. Our movements are being called forth. Our pilgrimages involve a dynamic call and response. God calls, we respond, and our response leads to new ways of showing forth the divine love and the divine creativity. Our faith, that which we are called to deepen during especially this time of year, involves trusting that God will make a way where there's no way. You know, on those times when you're walking and you get turned around and forget where the path is, God will make a new way for us. And God will show us that possibilities can emerge when it looks like there's a dead end. For ourselves, for our congregation, for our world. Now, when we get to Nicodemus, it's another whole way of speaking, isn't it? It's a different text language. It's a language of more of a Pharisee and a leader. Jesus always, notice in the Gospels, actually talks to people at exactly their level. He meets us where we're at. And so he speaks in terms of law and understanding and intellectual reasoning. And Nicodemus is not buying it easily. And he's not understanding it easily. But Jesus walks him through step by step, sort of like my friend who sends 10 text messages at a time. And Jesus keeps saying, here it is, be born anew, be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. Become part of a new creation. So that concept is new to Nicodemus. And that the movements of the Spirit are freewheeling. We cannot control the Spirit. And they're unconfined by any creed and any ritual which we hold. This past week, I had the privilege of going to each of the Episcopal election meetings in different parts of the diocese. I was there to support someone, but I was also there to support all of my colleagues who are in the election. And it was remarkable to hear the different language that each of them spoke. Each of them grounded in themselves, each of them very much themselves, but very different from one another. And despite who I hope will be the bishop, or who Carolyn hopes will be the bishop, or who any of our delegates do, the Spirit will not be bound by simply what I want. The Spirit will be freewheeling. And as one of my friends says, every single one of us should expect to be surprised next Saturday in the Diocese of Ottawa. Because something will happen during that day that will be a surprise, a movement of the Spirit. And we must enter into it with prayer and with openness, but also being ready to be moved in a different way, one we may not expect and one we may not think we're going to like. But no matter what it is, it needs to be held in God's grace. Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus that. John 3:16, and God so loved the world. Because God's movements are always about love. They're always about meeting us where we are, right now, in this minute, no matter what that feels like, and moving us. Moving us through that love and in that love to become more ourselves, to save us from ourselves. And that salvation touches everything, all of creation, the cells of our body to the souls of our hearts. There's no limits. There's no inside, outside. There's no impediments to God's grace. God's love is on the move. And sometimes in Lent, it's a time when we actually have to pause as well. I told Grayson that last week when he began the service like that, he made me cry. And it's really bad when the priest cries in the first 3 seconds of the service. Thank you. But it's beautiful because it's actually a pause. We do things a little differently. We do something different at the beginning of the service because it makes us stop for a moment on our journey and hear differently. Hear God's voice. Hear what the message is saying, communicating to us, telling us all that we are held in a circle of care, a circle of love. And that what we're meant to do is not to stay there. That's the important thing. We're not supposed to stay in that circle, but to take it and move it out. Give it to all we love and all we meet, and communicate with each person in the language that we meet. Not to berate others with what we've experienced, but to actually meet in that relationship. To use our very selves, our very unique selves, to heal and to grow. So at the same time as we pause for a moment at the beginning of the service, we're on the move. And during Lent is a good time to listen for those text messages that affirm us and keep us strong in our faith. Some of them might come in the form of many short little messages. Some of them might come in the form of bad spelling. Some of them might be absolutely perfect. And others might be encouraging and kick our butt. But no matter what, we are being reminded that God so loves the world and so loves each one of us. And so may we keep our faith on the move, be ever deepened, ever changed, and ever growing, no matter where our lives take us.